This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is my partner in history, Dr. Bill Smith. How are you?
I am great.
2012, of course, had a presidential election, and it's over, of course, except for, you know, the complaining that always happens in a post-election. But the complaining about the American presidential system is far from done. There were a handful of contested states. We now, of course, call them the swing states. They were the object of both parties' attention. Big attention. You recall the other 40 states barely
millions
existed.
Of dollars yeah. of attention.
If you were not from a swing state, you did not see the ad. Both parties, the president, Governor Mitt Romney, put money and time, especially in Ohio, to win the key states. Now, I'm looking to you, Bill, Dr. Bill, to give us the perspective on swing states.
Well, you know, there was much gnashing of teeth mm-hmm. and wringing of hands of this horrible precedent that has been set in which America's fate is only going to be decided by a handful of voters. How dare we have a system like this?
Okay, I'm guilty of having said that to friends. Like, boy, if you weren't from Ohio, Florida, or a handful of other states, so I'm about to find out that I should be chastised, I believe.
Well, not so much chastised as understand this is just the way it works.
Okay.
Swing states are as old as America, and three or four of them have figured in almost every contested presidential election. See if they sound familiar.
Okay.
Ohio.
Sure.
Pennsylvania.
Yes.
New York.
Yes.
20th century California.
Yes. Okay, let's break this down. When you say contested elections.
Correct. I'm not talking about Richard Nixon, 1972, Ronald Reagan, 1984, FDR's three re-elections, the early 19th century, any of the great landslides. This stuff doesn't matter.
Right. We're talking the closer ones.
We're considering elections that were somewhat even, or at least perceived to be even, and there were somewhat of battles.
Okay. Now, in that list of states you just gave me, two have a lot of electoral votes, but have really been put solidly in the blue camp for some time now. California and New York, they were off the table early the last few rounds.
That is correct. But this is why looking back at the old elections is interesting. Once New York and California became the huge population centers and the electoral prizes, they actually moved back and forth between the Democrats and the Republicans throughout most of the 20th century. It's not until Bill Clinton in 92 and then in 96 that you see this phenomenon of those two states being off the table and in the blue column. Same thing with Texas. It went back and forth once it became an electoral prize until roughly the Bushes when it solidly went over into the red column.
The thing about Texas and California being a swing state, when that happened, the amount of money you'd have to put, because they're so geographically big, they'd have so many large cities, that'd be a fiscal nightmare, I would think.
It would be.
Yeah. Now, Ohio.
Yes. Now, the political line that no GOP candidate makes it to the White House is somewhat relevant. Call it the once and forever swing state, though, right alongside Pennsylvania.
But for all the talk in 2012, the race wasn't as close a call in many of those battle states.
No. And that can often be the case.
Oh, really? Okay, but what about the complaint? Red states, blue states, the Electoral College system allows candidates to only pay attention to those states. And if you're in Arkansas or Montana, you get no attention.
Yeah, because you remember how much Grover Cleveland campaigned in Arkansas.
No.
No, he focused on one state, New York, when he won election in 1880s. You know, that's just in these early presidential battles were over one or two states. That's just the way it rolled.
So that's nothing new.
No. In pre-Civil War contested elections, the big four were Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They would move back and forth, tended to settle the outcomes, while the rest of the country pretty much went their own ways, except in the times when there were landslides. One of my favorite graphics that I like to use in a survey class, and especially this year, talks about the post-Reconstruction elections from 1872 to 1892. Guess what?
What?
16 states voted Republican in almost every election. 18 states voted Democrat in almost every election. And by the way, that looked a whole lot like the old Confederacy when you saw the footprint of those Democratic states. That left, you guessed it, four states, only four states that voted irregularly. In other words, they swung back and forth. New York, California, Nevada, and Indiana during that period.
So has it been geographic this whole time?
Pretty much. In the 20th century, the population shifts would make new states like California join the mix that originally was, you know, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and Virginia. Virginia kind of fades away. California and Texas sort of step in. This current pattern of New York and California going Democrat and Texas to the GOP is kind of a recent development.
Okay, well, recent, like how recent? Are there some examples? When did California last go to the GOP?
Well, let's talk about that because you've got some really interesting maps in some of these races.
And again, we're throwing out the landslides.
We're throwing out the landslides. Look at 1976. It's one of the really fascinating ones. You've got Gerald Ford, who takes California, usually Republican for most of the 20th century, by the way, and almost the entire western half of the country. If you drew a line on the western border of Arkansas, Louisiana, sort of that Midwestern line, everything west pretty much exclusively went to the Republicans, and everything east pretty much exclusively went to Jimmy Carter. Carter gets New York with 41, Pennsylvania with 27, and Ohio with 25. He gets Texas with 26, and that ends up being the pivot. Ford had 240 with California, but you take any two of Carter's swing states, give them to Ford, election's different.
One of the differences being in 1976, you didn't have a Nate Silver and all these interesting web apps that you could just easily, what if this state flips this way?
Exactly. Kind of like 1948. You certainly didn't have it then. And we all know how much fun that one was for the media.
Oh, yeah.
Truman, the Democrat, puts Ohio with the West. Truman carries California in that election, while Dewey and the GOP takes New York and Pennsylvania and toward the East. Now, what also hurt Dewey was the Dixiecrats walking away with 39 votes that might have gone. But you see, even the map there has now flipped East and West back around. 1992, though, is when we begin to see what we see this of a pattern day, the bi-coastal elections.
Washington, Oregon, California blue, New York, New Hampshire usually. So you've got them on the coast, you got the blue, and in the middle you got the red.
Correct. Clinton is going to get New York with 33, Pennsylvania with 23, Ohio with 21, and California for 54 to begin that pattern. But of course, it gets disrupted in 2000, 2004 with Bush. And to me, this is the one I like to come back to when people say, it's only about a handful of states. Yeah, absolutely. When it's 271 for Bush and, you know, you got that one margin.
Right.
Oh, Bush gets Ohio, 21, so there's your swing. He had Texas, Florida in the swing. Gore gets New York. Gore gets Pennsylvania. Gore gets Illinois. But, you know, Florida and the hanging chads really aren't the issue. If Gore gets his home state.
Gets Tennessee.
If Gore gets Arkansas, where his president is from, you know, you've got the tip. So it always comes down to a handful of states. It usually moves around a little bit. But again, that big three, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, California, they're not permanently in either category, even though they certainly appear to be today.
The one that sticks out that seems like it's never been able to be taken for granted is Ohio.
That's
right.
I mean,
go back to the 19th century and Ohio was a battleground state.
Ohio has been a constant in American politics. It kind of replaces Virginia, which in the colonial and the early Federalist period was sort of the pivot state. You know, if you played in Virginia, it was like playing in Peoria, they would say. Well, now it's Ohio and has remained to be Ohio to this day.
You may not know this, but in the earlier ones, you know, because now there was discussion like, boy, both parties were concentrating on this one suburb in Cuyahoga County that could flip Ohio, which could flip. Back in the mid-20th century, could they get that specific?
Well, let's just go back to one of my favorite elections where you had Blaine and Cleveland. And Blaine has one fundraiser with one speaker that blows up one part of New York City. And by a little more than 1,000 votes, which, you know, that's pretty much one mistake right before election in a key city in the key state. Grover Cleveland wins New York, wins the presidency because of, you know, 1,300 votes.
Wow. And really, you could even argue half of that, right?
Correct.
Because if it was 1,200 that he lost, if he could have just gotten half of those.
And again, that's back in the 1880s. So once again, targeting down to small areas, you know, we have computers today and we have lovely touchscreen graphics and, you know, Minority Report waving your hands on TV to make it exciting. But in the end, it is one of the great constants of American political battles.
I have a feeling we'll be able to have this same conversation in 4 years.
I think we can have it every 4 years.
But until the Electoral College decides to join the SEC,
we're history.